about spiritual territorial mapping. That's how I've titled it. It sounds mapping. Yeah. It sounds more like a pilot talking about that. Spiritual territorial mapping. That's what I titled the topic this morning. And I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1 to 7. And just for the benefit of everyone that might not have been in some of the services, please remember that most of our messages are recorded on our website. So if you go on the website, you will see the messages on the website, and you can listen to any of the messages on that website. So it's www.charitypentecostalchurch.co.uk. So it's all there. So please take note of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1 to 7 says, "Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with you with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against you, against some, which things of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as is Christ, so are we Christ." The Lord bless the reading of his word. The main part that I want to use this morning in this passage that we've read is the verse 4 and 5. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ."
Sorry, David, what chapter was it?
Chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, from verse 1 to 7. And I believe that we all, many a times, we have used that verse 4 a lot of time. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." We even have a song that we sing, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty, they are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through the Holy Ghost. They are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty, they are mighty. They are mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, Satan, in the name of the Lord, lay down your weapons and flee. For the Lord has given us the victory to tread right over you." Amen. You know, growing up in church is very interesting, but it can be very confusing as well. As a child, I remember when they say we should pray, and we take our Bible and we swing it. We rebuke you. We rebuke you. Swinging our Bible, that's the way we grew up, rebuking Satan. But then, not knowing any word in the Bible, we can swing it as much as we want to, and the devil will not flee. The Bible says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You need to be well grounded in the word. This morning, I want to thank God for having shown himself mighty in our midst in January 2019. We started the year by talking about divine experience. And God has shown himself as great. And we have had the experience. I mean, we've had the testimony of our sister Mary, how God has brought her through the problem with her blood system. We've had the testimony of our brother Terry this morning, just last week, how God, basically, that God has seen him through, and doctors can even say, we don't need to see you until after 6 months. Our sister Val has gone through an operation, and God has seen him through. All these are testimony of what God has done in January. And it shows you that God is at work. God is at work. And my joy is the fact that we are not the only one that have received this message of the greatness of God. Brother Rob and I, fortunately, I had an invitation, and Brother Rob had an invitation as well, next to his house. We went to a church in Westgate. And according to Brother Rob, that church was very old and rickety, and not having a lot of members before. But all of a sudden, the fire of God is rising in this United Reformed Church. It's a United Reformed Church, isn't it? The fire of God is rising in this United Reformed Church in Westgate. And they also are receiving the same insight of divine experience of God, which we are also receiving here. So the fire of God basically is lighting up all over Kent. It's not just here. The fire of God is lighting up all over Kent. And from there, I'm going to be reading some testimony that were given in that fellowship that we went to, which is more like a conference. I'm going to be giving some of the testimony at the end of this message, but I just want you to realize that God is moving in a special way. We also prayed for Brexit, didn't we? We prayed for Brexit, and I know we're not the only one praying for Brexit. There was a national prayer that was held at by David Attaway last week at Wembley Arena, and look at the way God has done it. A situation where we thought there was no way forward between the parliamentarian. We're like, it's going to be an impasse. No one is going, no moving forward. God did it. And now we're seeing a light in the end of the tunnel. And according to our brother Les yesterday, the ball is now in the EU's court. We've moved the goalposts. Before now, the goalpost was right here in Britain. But we moved the goalposts now to the EU court. And God is still working. It's not stopped. And that is what I want us to realize. But I want us to understand one thing this morning. I do not want us to limit our faith to this miracle, because many more are still going to happen. But that is not the measure for which we should judge ourselves. Because Jesus, in John chapter 2, verse 23, Jesus was talking about some people that came in contact with him. And the way he described them was that, this is how he described them. John 2, 23, he said, but when he was in Jerusalem during the Passover feast, many believed in his name. He said, many believed in his name when they saw the miracle which he did. But verse 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. They believed in the miracle. They believed in the signs and wonders, but Jesus could not commit to them because he knew that their heart is not with him yet. He knew that they are not there yet. So sometimes we might get carried away with, we're seeing signs and wonders. But no, that's not what it's all about. It's not about these signs and wonders. It's about our relationship with Jesus Christ. But as we press on to continue to press in, we get to know the way of God. Just as in Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible described, it said, he made his ways known unto Moses, but his heart unto the children of Israel. So, brethren, I want to say to you this morning, what we want to know is a way of God, not just the deed of God. The deed of God will follow once we have a better understanding of the way of God. We need to know God inside out. We need to know the plan of God. Not just the actualization of the plan, but the plan itself. What is God's master plan? What is his vision? What does he want to do with these signs and wonders that we are expecting? What does he want to do with this divine visitation? For us to know the way of God, we need to be in constant walk with God. This morning, I've prepared my message already, but this morning, I was doing my morning devotion, and what I was reading was about how the angels came to visit Abraham when they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the inspiration I was getting from that reading this morning was so enormous that Abraham could start negotiating with God. Abraham started by telling God 50, 40, 30, 20, and God was sitting down there listening to him. That's what we should be like. We should be able to tell God, hold on, don't do that yet. Wait, let's do this first. We should be able to commune with God. That's what Abraham became. Abraham sat with God and was telling God, no, if you see 50, what will you do? If you see 40, what will you do? And such conversation is so interesting because that's where God wants us to be, actually. If you look at the Garden of Eden, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, cast your mind back. God's relationship with man was a fellowship. God's relationship with man was a fellowship. And what is a fellowship? It is not someone lording himself over the other. It is because it's a meeting of mutual friends. God wants to see us as mutual friends. God wants to have that relationship with us. That is why he could call Abraham his friend. That is why he called him. When I was reading that this morning, I just started looking at him like, hang on, what a powerful conversation. Right, God, don't do this yet. Wait, if you see this, and you start looking at yourself and say, even with your boss at work, can you just tell your boss, hang on, don't wait. Let's do it this way. And he'll tell you, no, I set this up. I know my idea. I know what I'm looking for. And that's what I want to do. But the plan that God had, Abraham was able to turn it around because he had a personal relationship with God. And God had to discuss his plan with him. Even what God said before he went there was what is interesting as well. God said, can I hide this thing from Abraham, my friend? Can I hide this thing? So basically, God could not even take himself to that point to hide things from Abraham. Think of it that way. Look at yourself now and think, God wants to do something in this nation, in this community, and God is saying, I need to reveal this to this person first. I need to talk to David whether I should do this or not. I need to talk to Daniel. I need to talk to Rob. I need to talk to Les. I need to talk to Val. I need to talk to Jan. I need to talk to Joe and talk to Terry whether I should do this yet. That's the way it is like. Think of it that way. That God is saying, I need to discuss this before I do it. Who are you? What is man that God should be mindful of him? Son of man that should think of him. He has made him a little lower than the angels. But he has given him dominion over the work of his hand. That's what Psalm 8 says. Who are you? But God is saying, I can't do this until I've discussed it. That's how powerful the relationship with God is like. And that's what Abraham had. In everyday life, for you to know God, you have to walk with God. And interestingly, one of the things that in my job, one of the things that used to be in the olden days is that you have people who do what they call hatiko, like apprenticeship. That's how they become lawyers. They do apprenticeship. They stay in the law office, and they learn from people. And once they've learned how to do lawyer's work, that's how they become lawyers. So there's no need of paying so much money to go to university like some people will have to pay. So there's no need to pay so much money to go to university. You just sit in an office and you learn from there. And the same thing with medical profession in those days. If you read the history of medical profession, they learn on the job. They just follow what the people are doing. And that is what God wants us to be like with him. He wants us to walk with him and learn from him. He wants us to know his ways. That's what Jesus brought to us. The more time we spend with God, the better experience of God we have. Take note of that. The more time we spend with God, the better experience of God we have. And spending time with God, interestingly, as a church, we have a lot of time for prayer. We do. Although we might say it's a lot of time, but I don't even think it's enough. We have prayers on a Tuesday, 7 o'clock, and most time it's only Brother Rob and one other person that is here. I'm guilty of that as well. On Saturday, we sit down here most time, and we start at 10 o'clock. Most time we don't get to see a lot of people. It's only 3 or 4 people that is here. This, for you to have that experience of God, you need to have more time with him. Because prayer is communication. Prayer is talking. It's like you're discussing with your friend. If God is your friend, then you should be able to have more time with him. I'm encouraging us to spend more time with God. Not just when we gather together as well. In your own little room or time, make sure you spend time with God. Spend more time with God because God wants to do great things in you. And for you to know what God wants to do, you need to tap into who God is. And the only way to tap into who God is to be able to stay with him in the spiritual. In John chapter 4, it says, those who must worship him. Now is the time, and those who must worship him in spirit and in truth, because that is the kind of worship that God is seeking. There are some specific ways of staying in connection with God, and those specific ways are through the reading of the word, through prayer, and by the leading of the Spirit. This morning, I'm going to be talking about prayer, but I want you to know that there are other ways as well, through the reading of the word and through the leading of the Spirit. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the leading of the Spirit. But today, we're going to just zone in on prayer as a weapon of warfare. Prayer as a weapon of warfare. Romans 8, verse 26. What did he say? Likewise, it says, the Spirit help our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Prayer is not just the talking. Prayer is not just the asking. Prayer is about asking the mind of God. Walking in the mind of God. This morning, I'm talking about spiritual territorial mapping as a way of strategic praying. Because you want the visitation of God. You want God to, you want to have that divine experience. You need to know what to ask of God. Because sometimes we go into prayer and we get carried away by our personal need. But that is not what prayer should just be about. Sometimes we think we have it in the basket. We already have it in hand, so we don't need God. Let me refer you to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. God told the children of Israel that, and God told Joshua, that where the sole of your feet shall tread, I have given you. That's what he said to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Wherever your sole of your feet shall tread, I have given you. That's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. That's what God said to Joshua. But do you know that they still have to fight wars to possess the land? God told them, I've given you this land, but they still have to fight wars to possess this land. That's what prayer is all about. That's how prayer is to us. The promises is yea and amen. The promise of God is there for you. Remember that. The promise of God will never change. But for you to get those promises, you need to be in a relationship with God. For you need to be in prayer with God. For you to get those promises, the promises are yours. It's for you, your children, your great children. But then, the promises are not just there without you seeking it. Matthew 7:7 says, seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. Ask, and you shall be given. Prayer is promise set out in the word, but receiving prayerfully. The promise is set out. It's all laid down. And I can tell you one thing. If you read this word, you will see God's promises. Everything about life is in this word. But then, how do you tap into it? To understand spiritual territorial mapping, you need to have a spiritual bat. To understand spiritual mapping, you need to have spiritual bat. And what does that mean? John chapter 3, Nicodemus' story. We all know that story very well. And if you don't, I will implore you to go and read John chapter 3. Nicodemus, a teacher of law, who knows everything about the religious law and everything, came to Jesus. But what was his prayer request? What was Nicodemus seeking from Jesus? Nicodemus was seeking a kingdom that will overthrow the Roman Empire. That was all that was on his mind. Nicodemus was coming to Jesus like, when is that kingdom that will rule over, that will take over from the Roman Empire happen? But what was the plan of God? The plan of God is to establish an everlasting kingdom. A kingdom beyond the myopic view of the Roman Empire. A kingdom that is looking at the name of God being established all over the world. 2,000 years after, we're not even talking about the Roman Empire anymore. We're not talking about British Empire anymore. We're now talking about the kingdom of God being established on earth. Every creed, every nation, every tongue, every tribe has become part of that kingdom. The kingdom that Nicodemus was looking for. But what did Jesus tell him? You need to have the spiritual mind to be able to know the kingdom that I'm talking about. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Brothers, how are you praying? Sisters, how do you pray? Are you just praying for my family, my church, my home, my life, my everything, my work? Is that what your prayer is all about? Or are you thinking of, God, when will your revival come? When will this nation see you visit again? When will you revive me so that I can revive the world? When will you pay us a visit again? When will this kingdom of God, when will it come? To be part of that kingdom, to be able to fill into that kingdom, we need to recenter our prayer focus. We need to recenter our prayer focus. When Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, the template of the prayer, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not in Israel, not in Jerusalem. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the template of prayer for you and I. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our center focus is to bring God's revival first into our life, into our church and into our community. Our center focus is to bring God's revival into our life. Repentance first starts with me. Repentance starts in my life. Repentance starts with my home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Repentance starts with me. Then I bring it to the church. We all collectively come into that repentance, into renewing of our mind and our spirit and our body. And then we bring it into our community. Recentering our focus of prayer. Making it a point where God is the focus of everyone to look at. So to bring the revival, we also need to gather intelligence. We need to gather intelligence, praying into the needs of our community and people around us. We need to be able to have an understanding of what the need is in our community. People sleeping rough, people living on drugs, people who can't even afford to feed themselves, people who are locked up in their home, who can't open their door for anyone else. We need to gather those intelligence. And in doing that, we are caring for our community. Because our job is to bring God into those homes. Even if we can't go in there, we can pray the fragrance of God into those homes. And as soon as they smell the fragrance of God, it will break the chain of poverty and that the devil has kept them in. We need to pray for our nation and for the people around us. It's not down for us to complain about everything that government is doing. But our job is to go back in and pray for our government. Pray for those in authority. That's what the Bible says to us. We need to pray for God to take control of our people in authority. Our call to prayer is to seek the manifestation of God, of God's divine power in our midst and in our nation, putting God first in everything. God wants to work, and he wants to use us to work, and it will require our constant communication with him. But our communication should be according to the plan and purpose of God, not our own plan. Not what we think, not the prayer for ourselves alone, but the prayer for our nation, the prayer for God to move in our land, the prayer for God to move in our church, prayer for God to move in our community. We have to be like Daniel, who sits in king council, make decisions of law in the land. He doesn't engage in any argument with them. Do you notice that? When they told Daniel, you can't pray, in Daniel chapter 6 from verse 1 to 20, when they told Daniel in the council of meeting, oh, everyone should have to pray to the king, he did not sit down there and start arguing, oh, this Brexit, oh, these people don't get it right. No, that's not what he did. What did Daniel do? He went back into his room, into his closet. He opened the windows and started praying. He started praying God into the community. What happened? The people that were against him said, you should not pray. They then went and reported to the king and said, that guy is obeying the law that you've made. He's praying to the God that we said he should not pray to. Everyone should pray to the king. Daniel was thrown into the lion den. We all know what happened. The lion could not touch him. But all the people, all his opponents, all his opposition, as we call it in parliament, as they call it in parliament, all his opposition then became a victim that were out to go into the lion's den, and the lion destroyed them. And the king, look at the victory at the end of that story. The victory is that the king then accepted that there is no other God apart from the God of Daniel. He did not need to argue with them in parliament. He didn't sit down there and start saying, no, we're not going to do this. He just went back and sought the face of God. We need to be like Elijah, who just said, let God be God. 1 Kings 18, verse 17, especially verse 21. He says, let God be God. We need to be like Elijah. we need to understand that to answer to prayer is not just in the Bible. In recent times, there's a lot of answers to prayer as well. Before I go into the recent stories, I mean the recent one, we also need to be like Esther, a very interesting woman. She was in the palace. She would have been saved. Nothing would have happened to her. If people were going to be destroyed. But she was already saved. She was already there. It's like us being known to God and being protected by God. But what did she do? She called for fasting. She said, "You guys fast. I will also fast." Collective prayer she called for. And after the prayer, the enemies were destroyed. What am I saying to you? It is not just sitting down and looking at government policy. It's not just sitting down and saying that. This time around, we need to rise up and pray. Not just for ourselves, but for our nation, for people around us. We need to rise up and pray. We need to pray strategically and map out our prayers. We need to zone in into the need of our community, into the need of our society. Because God wants to walk. And he's not going to just come down and walk. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. As I said earlier, it's not just, because I've told you all this Bible story, and you might think, oh, it's all in the Bible. It's all in the past. But in recent time, God is walking. In recent time, God is walking. We went to a conference last week. About 2 weeks ago, was it? 2 weeks ago. And in the conference, they were giving examples of how God has walked. Listen to this. They gave various examples, and I'm going to read some of them now. Salford Dock. This is what they said. One of the examples they gave in there. A man told by God to pray, walk, and bless the decaying dockyard area, which was now derelict and abandoned in Salford Dock. He went down. God told him to go around and pray around the dock, and he was praying around the dock. Now, you know what has happened in that dock now? Now that dock has become the media capital of this nation. BBC recently moved his headquarters into that dock. That's prospering. God has prospered that land because of one man's prayer walk in that dock. God revived that dock. Another example, Notting Hill Carnival. It's synonymous to rowdiness, stabbing, and everything. Listen to this. Where it becomes routine for murder, mugging, GBH to take place and unsafe to be on the street when the carnival was on. All these stopped as Christians sought the Lord out to pray, and then in obedience, they did what the Lord told them to do. First year after the prayer, a policeman was heard to say, "The atmosphere is so different this year. It's like a holiday, Notting Hill Carnival." If anyone knows Notting Hill Carnival, you will understand it. No one even goes near London on those periods because of the rowdiness of that carnival place. But not far from home, Brussels, Folk Week, that's what they said. They said it's an occultic new age, pagan influence had crept in. Violence was happening during the Folk Week. Atmosphere in Brussels has changed for the worse continually. Not just in Folk Week, violence and young gang have started coming in during the years. God spoke to someone to start praying into it. And in the prayer, they set up what they call a Taylor House team, and they were doing prayer regularly for 5 years. They pray and walk and do routine walk through the land and praying on the side of the Folk Week. You know what happened? As they pray, there was a change in atmosphere in Brussels. No, it's not far from here. Brussels is not far from here. There was a change in atmosphere. The place become quieter. The occultic shops are closing and they've closed. Now they've actually closed totally, and they're being replaced by a new group of Christian people. All the shops that were closing were being replaced by a new group of Christian people who are starting to show the love of God. The atmosphere is changing. Most of the bad influence are gone. Then there's another one called Sire Walls. Sire Walls is an area in near Wonsome Channel. And someone's daughter had an accident in that place, and they said it's a place that is prone to accidents. I don't know where that is. It's a place that is prone to accident.
It's a little river that separates Thanet from the rest of Kent.
Exactly.
It used to be the sea.
Yeah.
Now it's just
a small river. And they said there was a lot of war. The history behind that is that there was a war in that area, and that place used to take a lot of life and everything. Many people died there many years ago. The police said they could not understand it and how it had become a dangerous stretch of road. Someone went and prayed, some group of people went and prayed and rebuked the spirit and said no more death. And to today, no one has died on that piece of land. Today, things have so changed that no one has died on that piece of land. And these are testimony of answered prayer. But it is basically praying strategically. God wants to do, there's so many more testimony. This is just a few of many of them that were given. Today, God wants to walk with us in 2019. But he wants us to zone in and pray strategically. God wants to do his mighty work. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. Let us know and let us prepare ourselves to walk with God. God bless you as you pray through 2019. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.